Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. We're glad you're with us tonight. It's Monday night, and that's time for Raising Expectations. We hope you had a blessed weekend, and we're in for a great program tonight. And I always start the same way. As you know, we're all Christians. We're born again. Our sins are under the blood of Christ. We believe the Bible is the word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And maybe the greatest part of that is we know where we're going when we die, but in the meantime, we know who walks with us till we get there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's only a prayer away. We love what it says in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I give you, not peace like the world gives I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, let not them be afraid." And that's great for today. We're going to hear more about that tonight. We have a very special guest tonight, but just before we get to Denise and bring her on so she can share with us, let me go back and take you through the team, because you won't find a better team anywhere than this group of people that I've grown to love and appreciate so much. And they're on here right now. We're going to bring them to you. I'm going to start on the West Coast. I don't know where you're located. If you're in Uganda watching tonight, you don't know where this was, but I'll tell you anyway. On the West Coast, in the south side of the state of California, in Lompoc, California, we have Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Paul's a retired pastor. He's a counselor. He's a speaker. He's been my brother in Christ for a long, long time, many, many years. And he helps people everywhere, wherever he goes, because he walks with the Lord, just like we said a moment ago. So Paul is there in Lompoc. Good to see you, Paul.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, Paul and I joined together. We'll go across the nation. We'll go all the way to the East Coast and the south side of the East Coast, right there in Georgia. We have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, and they're there in Dalton, Georgia. And Steph, as you know, that's Mrs. Thayer. She's there. She is a health and wellness coach, and she's also started an incredible ministry called Live Your Life Out Loud. And she not only helps with health, but she helps ladies through difficulties in their lives. She helps them by, as she is every week, as you know, a wonderful godly friend who they trust and know that they can share their heart with. And she will pray with them, give them great insight. She's just doing a wonderful ministry there. Live Your Life Out Loud. Steph Thayer there in Dalton, Georgia. This little bit of her website, you want to look that up for yourself, and check on Facebook and other places every day, because like I said, my daughter reads it all the time back in Ohio, and she looks forward to it all the time. And Stephanie is there, and you'll notice to her left, you'll see Dr. Thayer. That's Craig Thayer. She did such a good job. He's a great guy. Really is. Good work, Steph. But anyway, he is one of the greatest guys you can ever meet. Our brother in the Lord. He is a trauma surgeon. He's a surgeon. When they don't know what to do, they don't flip a coin. No, they just call him. And he tells them, "I think we need to do this," because he's always walking with an attitude of prayer, and the Lord works with him and helps him to go through very difficult times when it comes to surgery. And God's right there next to him. So he has a secret friend, and that's the Lord helping him through surgery. He's been helping missionaries around the world and other places in this also. Also, he has a great book, which I almost forgot last week to get to very quick. His book is called Saved, and it's on our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. If you'll scroll down there, as TJ's doing, thanks TJ, our engineer there in Houston, And you can see this is his book, Finding God in the Ordinary, one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the mercies of his life, the miracles of his life, which were there because of the mercy of God. And boy, did he do a good job as Craig walked with him. You want to get a copy of the book, you can check right there and hear the stories from his life. And right above it, Legitimate Faith. Thanks for so many of you who have been purchasing my book there. This is a third edition and speaks about faith, what it's all about from Hebrews chapter 11, especially the first 10 verses. And hopefully it brings it to life, because if we ever needed faith, this is a good time for it right now. So you'll find that on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. So as we move right along, you'll find them right there going from the west, excuse me, from the east, through the west. We go through Alabama there, Mississippi, north side of Louisiana, and right over into Texas, and keep going past the north, Texarkana. You can start your glide pattern down to the airport there, depending on your speed, and you'll land in Dallas, make your way to McKinney, and there you'll find about our favorite pastor there, along with Will Hobbs out in Texas. There he is right there. You'll find Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron is a great, yeah, that's him right there. I want to make sure you see that. He does have a great bookcase, but he and Paul, they're pretty classy. So it's really a good deal. And it's really cool. So you'll also find right there that Ron has run for office. Ron has done so many things in his life. I'll read about it. Ron Greer, he's in the Texas part of the Ministry for Man in the Mirror, based out of Florida. He'll be down there later on, I'm sure, as he gets ready to retire. He'll be down in that area. So read about Ron, what he's doing, and just get to know him as a brother in Christ also. These people right here bless my life. God's been good to me all through my life in ministry, but I tell you, I wouldn't trade anybody I've known in all my life in ministry for this group of people right here. They walk with God, and they bless everybody who knows them. So, anyway, this is the team right here. You're Raising Expectation family, and we're your family. We're always here for you. Thanks for your notes. Thanks for the texts that I get. Thanks for letting us know when God's doing things in your life. We're going to have a great testimony night sometime, and with your permission, we're going to share some of the things that God's been doing in your lives. With your permission, we're going to bring you on and let you share some of those things as a guest with us on the show on these nights. We've got great things coming. You're going to be excited. So tonight, we have a very special guest, and she's kind of leading in on what we're calling our Focus Election 24, the first of 6 weeks coming up beginning tonight. You've heard some of the things, and we're going to have very special people with us. Special our guest tonight, we're going to have Dr. Jim Robbins from the World Institute of Politics in Washington. We're going to have Kurt Schlechter coming in with us, who is Ron's favorite army guy in the world. And we're going to have him with us, Elizabeth Allers, and some others coming on. But tonight, we've got someone that you have grown to appreciate. You tell us all the time how much you appreciate her. She is Denise Gary Pandahl, D-E-N-I-C-E. I want to tell you, folks, I misspelled her name. I won the spelling bee in the sixth grade, and it's gone now. So I put that information on, and I spelled it wrong, and I asked her to forgive me today.
Oh, no problem.
She got
no
it right problem. On there. It says it right there, Denise. So Denise Gary Pandahl, and she'll be with us.
Thank
She's
you.
Coming up here. She is absolutely incredible. She speaks many languages. She's a Middle East specialist. She has a security clearance because they know what she knows, how important it is to our government. She ran for the United States Senate. You'll be hearing that name a lot, because God is not done with what he's doing in this lady's life. And she is our family in Christ. She loves the Lord. You can see some of the things, America First, that she has spoken. And she's going to be talking to us tonight, not only about America, but also some of the things that that she shared in the state of California. In fact, she was with where the president was this last weekend. And she wants to talk not only about what's happening there, but also about how Californians here, and that's a good model, because if we get it here, you can get it anywhere. Straighten out where our state is and regain the American dream that the Golden State was all about before. Become a beacon of America. We're supposed to be a rep to the rest of the world and the rest of the nation. And God told her and what she believes, and she's coming on. So, Denise, we're going to bring you on right now. We're going to give you a round of applause. Welcome.
Well,
to
thank you.
Expectations. And there you are.
Thank you so much. If you don't mind, I'd like to begin with the rally on Saturday. So, you know, this was, by the way, the first and only rally that Trump has been to in the state of California for a general campaign rally. Mm-hmm. So it was the only rally to California, and I was very impressed with his messaging on numerous issues that are relevant to all of us here in the state of California, but also to the nation. And you mentioned what I had texted you this morning about California being a beacon to this country and to the world. And I thought it was really important that the president talked about the very things that I campaigned on for United States Senate. For example, one of the things that the president talked about was water. I've said, I believe, on your show before, Joe, that whoever controls the water supply controls the food supply and therefore the population. And so I was thrilled that there has never been anybody except Devin Nunes that I'm aware of here in the state of California that's talked about the importance of water and the fact that the Democrats have turned off the water to farmers and to ranchers, making it so expensive for them to purchase, when in fact, if all we had was some more dams, off-stream reservoirs, if we had rainwater capture systems on farms and ranches here in our state, we wouldn't have farmers and ranchers selling our land to Chinese communists and other foreign nationals that want to control the food supply. So this is extremely important, this water issue, because it's at the very heart of the issue concerning our food supply. He talked about the importance of deregulating the oil, gas, and nuclear industry because inflation is over. The moment you begin to deregulate and expand oil, gas, and nuclear, and as you know, the Democrats in California have destroyed all but I believe one of the nuclear power plants. And yet, I don't think Americans or Californians realize the tremendous research and work that has been done in developing the most sophisticated technology with nuclear and natural gas and oil. And in fact, when you think about the dirty, filthy gas that we're getting from foreign countries, the dirty oil we're getting from foreign countries, when you think about how clean we produce it right here in the Golden State, it's such a blessing. And yet we know if Kamala Harris gets elected, that will be regulated. Literally, the oil, gas, and nuclear will be regulated right out of sight here in our state. California used to be the number one exporter of oil and gas to the United States of America, but to the world. We were a leader in the international community, and we're certainly not a leader today. The president spoke to the importance of ending critical race theory and transgenderism, not just in America's classrooms, but in the United States military. And he talked about the importance of building a missile defense system. This is incredibly important. In fact, as you know, I'm sure your audience is aware of the fact that the THAAD missile system has been sent now to the state of Israel. This is an important missile defense system. It doesn't hold nuclear warheads. It's not about warheads. It's a missile defense system that when a missile is coming into your neighborhood, into your city, into your state, into your community, it's going to blow up that missile in the atmosphere. And I thought, again, Kamala, Biden, none of the Democrats running here in the state of California on the state level or nationally are talking about the importance of having a sophisticated ballistic missile defense system where there's Arrow 2, there's Arrow 3, there's THAAD, there's the Iron Dome system in Israel. We've worked with the state of Israel jointly to develop some of the most sophisticated anti-ballistic missile systems, and we need them because Iran and North Korea and China and Russia, they're all about having nuclear warheads on ballistic missile systems. It's called ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles that can go from anywhere in the world and hit Los Angeles, hit San Francisco, hit Sacramento, hit San Diego, every city in the state of California and across the nation. So the fact that President Trump spoke about the importance of an anti-missile defense system is critical, and nobody else is. I thought it was also important that the president spoke about universal free choice in terms of education, putting America's children first, letting parents have an opportunity to choose the very best place for their child to get an education. There are special needs children that do not belong in a public school system. And those parents' tax dollars should be available to them, not to be funneled into a bucket for political schools, but to be placed and into a system of education for their special needs child. And we need to have those kinds of schools available for special needs children, for autistic children. And that kind of funding is not going to be available until parents have the funds available. And their tax dollars should belong to them in terms of providing that best education. The president also spoke about patients' rights. Here in California and across the nation, we have a terrible shortage of cancer medicines and cold medicines and flu antibiotics to fight the flu, etc. We have a shortage of medication in America today and in the state of California because the Democrats have raised the corporate tax rate so high that we can't compete with communist China. So the fact that the president spoke to lowering the corporate tax rate below the state of China, of bringing the manufacturing base back to the United States and to California. He talked about lowering taxes. He pointed out that here in California, we pay the highest taxes in the nation. And the president wants to lower the taxes to every Californian. And that is such an important message. Ending the tax on tips, ending the tax on Social Security, ending the tax on veterans' pay. Ending the tax on overtime to our blue collar workers. I mean, this is fundamental to the growth of our economy, to the prosperity of every Californian family, every American family. And as Americans are blessed, we can be a greater blessing to the nations. Think about all the work that our good churches do here in California and across the nation to help feed the poor. Can't come to the aid of Helene victims, of Milton victims, the hurricane victims, of what we do in foreign countries. I mean, the people of America are the most generous people in the world. And when we're blessed, we bless others. And I thought the president's messages, restoring freedom of speech, religious freedom, supporting the Second Amendment, I'm just trying to go through everything that the president addressed, and it was a very impressive, clear message on blessing the American people. And Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that it will be on earth as it is in heaven. And I know God wants his people to be blessed. America was based on our Judeo-Christian principles, and we are a civilization rooted in Judeo-Christian principles. And the president talked about defending our civilizational values. So I thought it was extremely important that we have the president come for the first time to California for a rally that was free of charge. There was no cost to any American that wanted to attend. And I just, I thought that was great. I nearly passed out because of the heat. It's hard standing for several hours at a time in temperatures with no covering that were over 100 degrees. That got a bit difficult for me, but I was determined to make it. And while I had to sit on the ground in the boiling sun, I got back up and just kept
Amen.
walking. You had to walk for miles to get from the various stations finally into the staging area and to find a seat and to get seated. So anyway, it was really quiet. I was up for nearly 24 hours just trying to
Oh
get there, leaving, getting up at 3 a.m.
wow.
Getting there before the parking lots began to open, waiting in line. The cars were waiting in line for over an hour just to get into the parking lot. Once you get there, you
Wow.
start walking, walking, walking. You stand under the sun, waiting for a shuttle
Wow.
bus to come pick you up. Then the shuttle bus comes, you stand in the sun, waiting to get inside. Then you stand in the sun waiting to get your ticket. It's really something. But you know,
Inflation,
what a historic and memorable event to see the former leader of the free world,
Yes.
and I hope and pray the next president of the United States speak to the fundamental freedoms that the American people love and cherish and embrace, and to know that through him, I believe, we can restore
Yes.
those freedoms and opportunities that have been lacking these last 4 years.
Amen. Yes.
Now, what you mentioned about the heat is, right now the Democrats are their last chance attack is to attack his health, Trump's health. This guy is a machine. He goes from capital city to capital city or small towns. I mean, three or four in a day. And just as a he's an Energizer bunny. He just keeps up there in the heat talking and doesn't suffer at all. He's like,
Well, he was wearing a suit.
yeah,
Stephen Miller did a
exactly.
great job too. Stephen Miller came, he wore a suit. Rick Grenell had a suit. Brian McFarlane, former national security. All these people, Kash Patel, they're all wearing a suit. We were putting ice down our clothes to try to maintain our to try to I'm sorry to say that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, that's cool.
Forgive me for
TMI,
saying that, but we were trying to prevent ourselves from passing out as
TMI.
we stood there under the blazing sun.
Smart.
It was actually kind of a tough day. It really was.
Yeah,
But I respect the fact that they got out in their suits and ties and came up and spoke. Of course, they were only there for what, maybe an hour, and they were back into a cool
Well,
refrigerated
still,
area.
on top of that, dark colored suits with shirt and tie.
Right,
That's
exactly.
tough.
They
Trust
were
me.
dark. They were dark colored.
Probably not
Right.
coolant circulating Kevlar vests either.
No. Oh, that's
I
right.
have
But
to say,
I've been to that rally out on a
yes.
stage like that, and
Yeah.
trust me,
Yeah.
even for an hour, it's
I
rough.
have too. I'll never forget the time when I was running for U.S. Senate, and this barbecue place, and the
All
smoke
right.
and the heat over a
Oh.
hundred kept drifting over to me, and I started to cough, and I was trying to finish, and oh my, I've been through it. It's really something.
Well,
Stephanie,
a
do you
couple
have a
things were.
question?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stephanie. Sorry,
Oh,
Steph.
I
Yeah,
just
no, you
want to
got it.
comment.
No.
It was really interesting to hear from some of my friends. We lived in Northern California, kind of between San Francisco and Tahoe, and Oh, okay. they were so What county are you from? El Dorado County. El
We
Dorado. I
live
spoke in
outside
El
of Tahoe.
Dorado counties.
Yeah,
Yep.
so.
It's great. And I have friends that grew up with you, actually. When you were on the show, they said, "Oh, I so and so." Yeah, all connect. It's a small world, right? So even if it's
Oh
in the field, but they were so excited that
yes.
former President Trump was coming to California. They couldn't believe it, just because it's been Democrat run for 20 years at this point, right? And there are areas that are still very red. A lot of people that aren't from California
Yes.
know that. But
Yes.
it hasn't been enough, right? It's like
Right.
just over half. And just to see that and then to see the momentum, people excited, wanting to be there, and just hearing about
Man,
it just warms my heart because it's encouraging
yeah.
because it says he had the guts, and that's what you have to have, is the strength of character to come into a blue state. Hooray for President Trump.
Yeah.
To come into a blue state and face and hit head on, the Democrats that run this state. It's extremely important to stand up and be heard. And I really respect the fact that he came to California. I really do. That's important. It's hard for people like myself that are conservatives. It was very difficult to run in this state. I was under constant attack, even by fellow Republicans. It actually bothered me that the leader of the California GOP was there because she's actually was no help to conservative candidates running for office, and that was tough. Anyway, we need to work on our state. We need to come together as Republicans, and we need to support Republican candidates. And it's tough out there, and our own party makes it tough. But I just, I thank God that President Trump came. Hooray for him,
Amen.
for just facing.
Yeah, Ron, you
On
got
that
to.
note, that was one of the things I was thoroughly impressed with. One being the crowd
Yes.
in Coachella, that
Yes.
big, and it's an odd thing, right? You can
Right.
look through multiple news outlets and you can't find the numbers. It was you have to dig, and they won't report it. A lot of criticism about crazy things he said, but they don't tell you how big the crowd was.
What crazy
But
thing did he say? I mean, I just don't know what crazy thing he said.
anything sensible is crazy to leftist Democrats.
I mean, it was common. It was common sense.
No,
It's things that if anybody had a cup of coffee with somebody, we'd probably say, just in chatting about the issues, right?
Well, so I can't remember. I won't say the news outlet because I can't remember exactly, but I read them. So one was the rude attacks on Californians. It was the attack on the unfair and inaccurate attacks on California legislation, he said. And another one was he was criticized for all the attendees that were he left stranded at Coachella.
The attendees he
Factor.
left stranded. So let's address that is a false information.
Oh,
He
absolutely,
didn't
absolutely.
organize. So President Trump, for all of you out there that are listening, President Trump's team did not organize
Yes,
this event.
thank you.
And there was there was some disorganization, but that was not President Trump's team that
No.
put this event together.
Right.
He came because he was invited to come.
Yes.
And so he spent his fuel from his plane and his vehicles and his team. He spent his own money to come to California to address the voters and tell the voters of California how he can be a blessing to their life.
Amen.
But he
Amen.
didn't organize the event. So to blame him for anything chaotic, and as a
Makes no sense.
Californian and as an American, that sat there the entire time to listen carefully to what everybody was saying. I never heard anything insulting to me as an American or as a Californian. In fact, what I heard was a message of gratitude that we came out in the heat
Yes,
and we
yes.
were there, many of us, from 6 a.m. till midnight.
Wow.
6 a.m.
Right. I mean, I was
Oh.
basically up for 24 hours.
Oh,
And
wow.
I think there was nothing but gratitude on the part of our of I hope the next
Oh,
president of the United States. Yes.
Again, it's the media's the propaganda arm of the leftist Democrats. So they're gonna always nitpick and find something ridiculous to put out there.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, having ran for office and been involved in other campaigns, one of the things that President Trump did there, and he's done in Chicago and other places, is that you defy all the campaign strategists, right? So you go to places where you get the highest vote to dollar ratio, and the places where you aren't getting that many votes, you avoid those places. Trump has completely defied that in 2016, and he's still doing it now. You go into places like California, most conservative Republicans wouldn't go to California, have a rally. Wouldn't. They might have a fundraiser, but you're not going to
Right.
California
Yeah, and
because
he's had fundraisers,
every
and I've been
strategy,
to, right.
I'm sorry, every advisor, every strategist is going to tell you it's not worth the time and money. You're not going to get the votes out of that. So that's an extraordinary thing that he ignores, and he does what he knows to be right to do.
I'd like to say something about that. So I was told when I, and of course I lost the primary, I never got the support from the California State Party and the National Party. I
Wonder
just
why.
Never did. I'm not a millionaire, and they just never backed me, unfortunately. Although I was the best candidate, the most knowledgeable candidate. Anyway, what I wanted to say is, this is what I respect about President Trump. So he's going to areas that are rural, that you wouldn't think necessarily to have a rally. I went to every rural community in this state and campaigned. And I thought at the time, that is the best thing to do because that is my base. That's the conservative Republican people
sensible.
of California.
Yes.
And I had their vote until the establishment wing of the party threw in Steve Garvey. But and then I think everybody thought we've got to get behind somebody that has more name recognition. We have to vote for that person. I understand that. I understand that. And I support Steve Garvey and I pray that he wins. But I'm just saying, I do think that President Trump is right because people love that. People appreciate the fact.
Yes.
I used to be told over and over again, you came up into the mountains or you came over here into this farming community, this ranching community, and you spoke to us. And you know, maybe there was only 50 people there or less, but I wanted to reach everybody in the state of California.
Yes.
I traveled everywhere. And I just feel this really good that the president did this yesterday. And I hope he is blessed for it and that he gets those votes there. Because that is a more, that's a smaller community. And it's a really more of a rural type community, Coachella.
I think the thing that people miss is that the one thing that President Trump does, and the one thing advantage he has, he knows people. He knows what moves them. He knows what inspires them. And because he's been doing that, he's had to have that gift in media for 35, 40 years. So he understands that. And that's the reason he does that also, because going in those small areas, you can't explain to the strategist, going in those areas where you said small, those are your base. They're completely ignored otherwise. When you go, you tell them that you value them and they're important to you. Those people have a tendency to vote, but they have relatives all over the place and friends.
That's right.
They become the people who start talking.
That's right.
If you ignore them, they will withdraw. Now, here's another one. Excuse me if I go too far. one of the most disturbing things to me is some numbers we saw in 2020 and also since then. One of them was, I think, Bonner. 6.9 million evangelical Christians did not vote.
Oh, yes.
And in,
right.
in California,
that's right.
California.
No, it's an excellent point you're making. And I used to make it on the campaign trail. And I would tell people, get in your churches, get that table out on the cement, on the sidewalk.
Yes.
In front of that church, you're not on church property. You have a right to be on a public sidewalk.
Yes.
Get out there and get people registered to vote because the churches are responsible, as far as I'm concerned, for not
absolutely.
Getting their people out there to vote. Do
absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
I think this is an important message. Thank you so
absolutely.
Much,
absolutely.
Sir, for bringing it up.
Yes.
If the people in our churches got out to vote,
yes,
Republicans would win elections.
It would change
because
every,
Republicans
every
stand
one.
For the biblical values
yes.
that the Christian community embraces.
Every single
Where
issue.
Is the that community?
Yes. Well, here's one that got me was that I've seen the numbers. If anywhere from 5 to 6% of the 6.9 who didn't vote had voted in the 2020 election, there's no way Joe Biden would have won. And
and
the House and the Senate would also have turned over. And in,
right.
and in California, if you had in the last election, if out of the, I think it's something like, I think it's It's about 6.7 million, I think it is, somewhere in there, right? Same thing there. If they had had 3 million more evangelical Christians that voted, Republicans would have completely wiped the thing clean.
Yes,
Easy.
sir.
There's not a single election that anyone can win over the number of evangelical Christians. Not mainline, just evangelical Christians.
Do
If we
you
would
know
if they
how
would
many
vote,
past
I'm
do
sorry,
you
go ahead,
know how
sorry.
many pastors I reached out to?
Oh,
I reached
trust me.
out to Jack Hibbs. I reached out to pastors in my local community here in Orange County. There was one pastor here in Orange County where I'm now living that allowed me to come and speak.
Yes.
One. And yet, when I would get in, when I got in front of people and shared my testimony, I mean, I've had a miracles
Yes.
happen in my personal life.
Yes.
The positions that I represent would only bless the people of this state and this country.
Yes.
And yet, in fact, God commands us to
Yes.
pray for the leadership.
That's
Yes.
right. Yeah.
Right? We're supposed to be in prayer for them. Well, if you're supposed to be in prayer for them, why in the heck wouldn't you elect people that
Yes.
you know are God-fearing, God-honoring citizens of this country and this state? Why wouldn't you elect them to office? Why wouldn't the churches give you that platform? I
Absolutely.
just thought it was dreadful that I couldn't get any pastor to allow me to say anything inside the church. It could have been at a women's luncheon. It could have been on a
Yes.
Wednesday night. It
Yes.
could have been at a in the social hall after the church service. I mean, it doesn't have
Amen.
to be
Right.
during the service even.
Well, if you were a Democrat, you can and a black Democrat in particular, you could speak in any church you want.
Oh yeah, in
And
any church in Texas,
yeah.
right? That as a black Democrat. Hi, yes,
Here's one for
Stephanie.
you. I
Yeah.
was a pastor running for office, and they would not allow me to speak.
Yeah.
A
A
pastor.
pastor.
I was a
Oh
pastor
my.
running for Congress, and they would not
Oh.
let me speak in their churches.
I think that many believers have made a big mistake of being quiet. We can speak up for our convictions, and we don't have to be disrespectful or rude or anything like
No.
that. And
No.
I did a lot of research on this about, are should Christians care about government and the politics? And it's throughout the entire Bible. It's almost from the beginning. If you look at Moses when they're establishing what they're doing, he's exhausted trying to solve everything. His father-in-law comes to him and says, "Hey, you need
What are
to
you
appoint
doing?
some judges to help you. Let's ha make a system." It is literally right there near the
Amen.
beginning. And it's such a
God raised
mistake.
up female judges. Think of it. God
Yes,
raised up
he did.
Saul. God raised up David. God raised up David's son, King Solomon. He put people in leadership
I feel like
positions.
Romans
Christians
13.
are too mousy, right? We have to, or meek, we. It's okay to stand for what you believe. It like heart is a necessary thing.
Ask Martin Niemöller how he feels about that statement. Oh, that's right. We
Amen.
can't do that till we get to heaven.
Right.
Think
He's quite
about the
right.
pastors in Nazi Germany.
Exactly.
I think if the pastors in Nazi Germany had actually stood up, there was what, 3,000 or more pastors. Somebody maybe's done that research. I
There
haven't.
were 13,000 total, but 3,000 decided they would think about doing something. That's Bonhoeffer.
Okay, so there you go. There you
Yeah.
go, doctor. So there,
What?
so I knew
What?
that there, I
When
knew
push
that
came to shove.
if the church had stood up, that Holocaust wouldn't have happened.
That's
Yeah.
right.
Well,
This way, if
Tank
it had not been
about
for, I'm sorry.
only about a
No,
thousand.
hang on, we're on time. Tank, I got you wrong. What was that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tank. Sorry.
No, I just said out of the 3,000, so 13 total, 3,000 said we would do something, and then when it came push to shove, only about 1,000 participated. So, I mean, you can know right from wrong,
That's
and
like,
that's part of the point of his book.
yeah.
Is that, but when you know right and wrong and you tolerate it, that's a sin.
Like
That's sin.
7%.
Tolerance is a sin.
We
Well,
have a finite.
Tolerance of
Here's another one for
sin
you. Go back to
is a
the American
sin.
Civil War. If it
Yeah.
had not been for pastors, the
Yeah.
Civil War would never have actually taken off the way it did. You had
Well,
the pastors pretty much drove the fervor for independence in the United States.
Well, Abraham Lincoln, as a Christian, when he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation in 1862, at the end of 1862, it was made public on January 1st, 1863. When Abraham Lincoln wrote that, he said slavery is evil, and he feared that God would punish the nation,
Yes.
and that the deaths of people that fought in the war, that this was just, part of God's judgment, that we had to rid this country from that evil. And Abraham Lincoln was very firm on that in the Emancipation Proclamation, which he wrote in his own hand. I thought that, and I think that's an incredible document to go back and read. I think it's also incredible to be aware of the fact that because of our Judeo-Christian principles, that when, the founding fathers were negotiating the Constitution, that there was a real fight between the Northern leaders and the Southern leaders about ending slavery altogether. I mean, they had to come to that compromise. They compromised, and in the end, sir, that the Civil War began because Democrats passed that legislation in Congress. If you reading your history, but what was that? 1860, no, excuse me, 1856. They passed that legislation out of Congress that for every free state that came into the Union, a slave state had to come into the Union. I believe that was the Nebraska-Kansas Act, if I'm not mistaken. And that because of that legislation that came in, Congress said we cannot have this. And this is when the Republican Party was born.
Ripon in Wisconsin.
That's right. The
My home
Republican
state.
Party was born out of the passage of the Kansas-Nebraska Act because they said slavery was evil, and we needed a new political party in America
Yes,
that was going to fight against it. And it was the Republican Party that was formed at that time in 1856. And for the first time in America's history to that date, we ran a Republican candidate who ran on ending slavery in America. I mean, this is who we are as Republicans. We're people that have stood traditionally for freedom, and we're still doing it. President Trump talked about religious freedom and restoring that back to America, including free speech, free press, and the Second Amendment.
Amen.
Oh, I like to mention also Proverbs 29. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. But
That's
when the
right.
wicked rule,
Beautiful.
they moan. So
You're
yeah,
in
that
trouble.
if nothing else, that one scripture text tells us we
I'm going to
should be in
write
the
that
authority.
down. What was that again?
Proverbs 29.
Okay. Proverbs 29. Okay, I'll look
Proverbs
that up.
29.
That's it. That's it. I've got a friend, Paul remembers that Dr. Staggs, who went to undergraduate with us, then he went to Harvard, graduated at Harvard, and he is an actor, but he did, and again, my apologies, I had Niemöller and Bonhoeffer mixed for a second in my head. He did Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he did a stand-up thing. He's been all over. In fact, the Israeli Knesset had him come and present it in Israel to the Knesset. Standing up of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's last words, and actually it takes place in the cell before he knows it's all over. And we'll try to get him to share that sometime. But what a testimony. Well, we've got about 4 minutes. Let's keep going here, and then we're going to take a break. And
Could
Denise,
I say something
oh,
about the criticism
absolutely,
of
go
it?
take it, yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that deeply is concerning is the bad press that Israel's getting with respect to the couple of UNIFIL. UNIFIL means the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon.
Another word
And
for worthless.
a couple of soldiers were injured. The problem, that's not Israel's fault. That is the fault of Hezbollah that has set up launch sites near UNIFIL positions. If you look at a map, of UNIFIL positions along the border, along what they call the blue line, because United Nations flag is blue. So they've set up these barrels, along the line, blue barrels, right? They're supposed to, identify this blue line. It's not the border between Israel and Lebanon. It's just where Israel withdrew from southern Lebanon because Israel was under constant attack by Hezbollah, which means the party of God, and it's backed by Iran. And so, anyway, these two soldiers wound up being injured, but we need to get the message out to Democrats that this is absolutely to the interests of Americans and Americans living in the Middle East and to our allies in and around the Middle East and in Europe for Israel to utterly destroy Hezbollah. Because why should any military force be providing massive weapon storage facilities and rocket launchers and missile launchers and terrorists throughout southern Lebanon along this blue line that is the line of withdrawal? I mean, why would you do that unless you want soldiers from the United Nations interim force to be killed or injured in order to bring negative press and put pressure on Israel to cease and desist its war effort there? I mean, this is all about bringing international pressure against Israel, and it's evil.
Absolutely wicked.
And Israel has every right to uproot, and UNIFIL ought to get out of Israel's way. Because the quote unquote peacekeeping force has not been a peacekeeping force. In fact, some of those individuals that are part of the UNIFIL peacekeeping force are actually siding with and
Facilitating.
supporting Hezbollah
Yeah,
in its
facilitating.
military effort. I mean, they need to vacate that area because if not, we might see more UNIFIL soldiers killed, and that's unfortunate. But the Secretary General of the United Nations, who is a socialist, by the way, Antonio Guterres, the United Nations Secretary General basically is suggesting that Israel's involved in war crimes. Well, it's not a war crime for Israel to want to bring back thousands of its citizens back to northern Israel, where they have farms and ranches and businesses and schools and hospitals. I mean, people want to go home, and they miss their home, and they miss their neighborhoods, and they miss their community, and they have a right to go home.
That's
And
right.
they shouldn't have to worry about having 10 seconds to run into an underground shelter because Hezbollah is sending over missiles and drone attacks and rocket attacks and terrorists to slit the throats of their infants. I mean, this needs to end. And Israel needs to have that opportunity to end it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think
I know we're
I
running out of
thought
time,
that
but
was.
can I say one thing really quickly?
Yeah, real quick, thanks. You guys, go ahead.
Another lost point is, I think people who don't understand Islam, who don't understand the radical nature, who haven't been involved in Islam before, it's not simply Israel protecting Israel. The interests of every other country being involved, if Israel does not defeat them, that thing is spreading all over the country.
They
Ask
just grow.
Germany, ask Switzerland, ask France, and ask the college campuses here. The
Yes, sir.
intent and the purpose of those groups and the Iran included is to spread out throughout the Western civilization and
Yes.
destroy it. There is no
Right.
secret
They
about
want to
that.
dominate
So,
the world. Craig, what were you going to
absolutely.
say?
Oh, I
Sorry.
was just going to say, I think I was 4 or 5 when you learn if you stand too close to a fire, you're going to get burnt. So they need to get another.
Common sense
Kind of
again.
a simple
Yes, common
thing.
sense again,
Don't stand
doctor.
too close to the
Yeah.
fire, even with marshmallows and making s'mores. Get back.
Exactly. Good point. Well, we're going to take just a
Excellent
minute
point.
here, folks. And if you'll just hold on with us, Denise, I'll give you the last word in just a minute here to close us out. And Steph, could you share with the folks? They look forward to hearing from you on this. Thanks.
Sure. I
DJ, please go
had
on.
If you head over to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you can learn all the goodness there is to learn about the show and us. And if you start to scroll down just a little bit, you'll see there is a way that you can donate. We always appreciate your generosity. And if you keep going, you can contact Joe directly if you want to do it the old-fashioned way with the phone or snail mail. We like that. Keep going, and you can listen to prior shows. You can see what guests we had on, lots of information there. And then you can see there's all the information about each of us as co-hosts, how to connect with us. And if you keep going, there's Pastor Joe and my husband's book. And so all the goodness is right there. And at the top, you can actually listen to all the different radio shows or the programs that BBS has. There's a lot. And you can find us on all the main social media platforms.
Amen. And when you go on there and check out the folks that are on the schedule she just gave you, you can either watch the listen to the podcast of it or watch the program live. You just click the button and you can send that to anybody you want, Denise, friends, and you can send it anywhere. I have answered some questions on that again today. So that's great. Thanks, Steph. Appreciate it. Appreciate your donation. Any help you can give folks. I know it's a tough time right now. Let's keep praying for November 4th and keep right on rolling.
Yes.
Okay, we're looking at this at 6:53. Can you take 2 minutes, Denise, and give us a round out on this? We're bringing you back to talk about the Middle East again, too, once we get this all settled up. Would you
Okay.
again and take a
Well,
couple
I'm going
minutes?
to give everybody my phone number. It's
Good, good.
661-747-1829. 661-747-1829. I would love to go to a church or a synagogue or your club or organization and talk about why we need to get Republicans elected, how we can restore the American dream, what are our biblical values, and how can we vote? How can we best vote for our biblical values? As a person that has been a Middle East specialist, not so much anymore, honestly, because I have been involved in so many other things at this time in my life, but I would love to shed some light on what's going on and maybe get people up to speed on how they can think about the issues, how they can encourage their senators and their congressmen in Washington to support policies that are in the best interests of the United States of America and Israel, as well as the rest of the West, that
Amen.
depends on a strong America, a
That's right.
triumphant America, and a strong Israel in order to help maintain global stability. This
Amen.
is important. America has to remain strong. Our allies have to remain strong in order to make the world a safer, better place in which we can all live and thrive.
Amen. Hey, Steph. As we wrap out tonight, would you pray for Denise? Just pray the people, these doors are open where she can share like you do with ladies. And since, lady to lady tonight, all us, we're with you. Thanks.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Of course. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time to come together, and we aim to glorify you, Lord. I just lift Denise up. She is a mighty warrior for you, Lord.
Yes.
I ask that you just give her the words that she needs to speak out, Lord, that you put her in the right rooms, the right positions, Lord, and let your message be heard through her. Help her with this movement. Bring back the United States to what you intended it for. We know it's a nation that you designed for us and for you to be the heart of it. And Denise, Lord, is trying to be the hands and feet right now. So we just ask that you go before her and beside her and behind her as she works to fulfill that mission in and through you, Lord. Thank you so much for her heart and for her desire to be out there, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your prayer, and thank you for the prayers of everyone on the team and everyone else. And to President Trump, if you need somebody, here I am.
That's it. Stop praying
There
that way. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us tonight.
you
Ladies and gentlemen, we
Thank
just
you.
ran out of time. I wish we had a couple hours, but God bless and keep you. Remember, Denise, in your prayers. Remember, each week, continue to pray for President Trump and pray that our nation will Go the right direction. Keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our hand in his, and keep our knees on the floor every morning praying to him that his will be done. We love and appreciate you on behalf of everybody. We'll see you next week for sure. God bless and keep you. Take care.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.